Today's Mishnah Masechet Machshirin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ira Kadesh, is Perek Gimel, Mishnah Dalet. So, remember that we've been discussing the fascinating issue about whether absorption is considered to be actual act of Heksher. Now there's also a question of the content of that absorption, because sometimes you can absorb things and it will actually make your tvua or your zroim damp. But the question is, what was absorbed? Let's say somebody washes down the floor of his house. Now, remember in those days, the house was basically dirt or stone, natural dirt or stone, and that would get quite dusty. And in order for the dust to remain stuck on the floor where it belonged, you can never get it fully off because the surfaces were so rough. So you would spray down the room. And that was called reboots. So Amarab Beitz et Beito. So somebody sprays down, which was actually, didn't necessarily have a nice spray bottle, but they would sprinkle it with their hands and so on. So you sprinkle the air, and that makes the floor damp. And now you put down some wheat on your floor. And actually, we take a look at that wheat now, v'tonenu, and that wheat is dampish. So the question is that, is the damp itself considered to be heksher or not? So imachmat hamayim, if there was actual water that had been left on the floor and you put the wheat on it, well, okay, that is heksher, and that would be v'chiyutan. But remember that the floor is always damp, and that damp is not called water. That damp is called ze'at hakarka, or ze'at habayit. And ze'ah, as we've seen before, is not really called a mashka. And therefore, if it's machmat hamayim, obviously it's bechiyutan. But if it got damp, because the floor is always somewhat damp, it's cold and there's always a little bit of condensate on it. So then, imach matasela, which is the floor, einan b'chiyutan, because that is called zeya. It's not called mashke. Now, the same thing would be true when you used to do your wash inside of an areva. Nowadays, those arevas are very complicated, and they stand on their edge usually, unless you're an American and got a Maytag, and they're all pretty, and they drain themselves. Gosh, things have really improved. But you used to just have a big areva where you put all your clothes into, and that's
were rough times,
right? So they were always sort of damp. So you wash your clothes, you pour out the water, and after pouring out the water, there's a little bit of damp left in your areva. Now, you put your chitim into that areva, and they actually got damp. So, imachmat hamayim b'chiyutan, imachmat atzmam, if there was actual water there, so then there is a obvious, any like any other kiyutan, that's real kiyutan. They came into contact with water. But sometimes the reason that chitim become damp is because you put a lot of them together and they start actually warming up from oxidation and the seepage of internal moisture. If that is where they got the wet from, then einan b'chiyutan, because that is considered not to be one of the shiva mashkin. How would that be shiva, one of the mashkin? What about a similar case where you're mitanein b'chol? So oftentimes people would store their peros or their grain under sand. Now sand is always a little bit wet. And hareza b'chiyutan, that's not considered to be zeya. That's considered to be groundwater that's lifted up into the sand and is actual water. And there was a maisa b'anshei ha-machoz. People of Mochoz, they always used to store things in sand. Shehayu metinim b'chol, and they got things damp in sand, assuming that that keeps things fresh. and it certainly is not a problem of Tuma, so they weren't makbid on not touching it with Tuma because they knew that it was never Muksha. Amru lahem chachamim, im kach hayitem osim, this is the way that you stored your things? Then lo asitem tahara miyameichem, you might have thinking that you've been eating your peros b'tahara, nothing that you had is tahar, because since you weren't makbid on not touching it b'tumah, thinking it wasn't muksha, then you must have obviously been metame everything, and because of that, you may think you've been very frum and having all these kosher tahara peros, you never had a tahar peri in your life. Mishnah, hey. In Perek Gimel of Machshirin. What about if somebody moistens things? Petit hanaguv. So there was mud here, it was once wet, and now it's dried, which means that it's mostly dry. So Rabbi Shimon Omer, well, it depends how much damp there is here. Im yesh bo mashke tofeach. Now, this is a big shilim, so we've spoken about before, this din of mashke tofeach. Many of the Rishonim hold that wherever it says mashke tofeach, it means tofeach amenat lahatfiach. And tofeach amenat lahatfiach means that something has to be damp enough so that when you touch it, your finger becomes damp enough to make something else wet, even though that other thing is not going to make anything else wet. And others when it just means mashke tofeach, so that when you touch it, you feel damp on your finger. But whatever the shear is, im yesh bo mashke tofeach, if that mud was wet enough to make something be wet that touches it, again, it might have to be wet enough to make something else feel wet, so then it was b'chiyutan. V'im lav, eno b'chiyutan. So even though it was now, it feels wet, it must have absorbed the actual zeya from that mud if there wasn't enough in the mud to touch and to feel wet. And again, zeya and she'ifa is not considered to be a mashka, the same way that the water on a floor, the damp on a floor, is not considered to be mashka. It's considered to be zeya. A similar thing is where your merabit's garnot. So you have a goren. So a goren is this silo. So that silo needs, it's always got dust, of course, as you know from the explosions in silos. And so you have to keep the dust down. So Hamarabet said, Gorno, eno choshe shemalatan b'chitim v'tanenu. If you put chitim in it, there's not even a chashash that the reason that those chitim are dampish is because of the water that you use to be merabits. And the reason is that a silo is extremely absorptive. That's the whole point, that we're trying to make sure that there's no dust in the air, and any little bit of water that you'd put there would be immediately absorbed by those remnants of the grain that's been in there. And because of that, it's absorbed right away because the place is totally without any humidity. And therefore, it dries almost instantly when you do put water in there. And by the time you put the chitim down, we have a right to assume that there is no way that it would be mukshar. I mean, unless obviously if you actually see that there's water there, but that is generally not something you have to be choshish. All of these cases, obviously, I neglected to mention that, but all of these cases, as the Rishonim point out, if you saw at the time, let's say it's starting even with that case before where you had the pas that was put on top of the wine barrel and absorbed the tam, if you saw that there was actual moisture that was around the pot, and it wasn't just something that had gotten into it, but that the whole area was damp, then of course you would know that it comes from there. But we're talking about you come back later and find it like this, not that you saw it there. That's true over here. It's a given that if you know there was mayim there, of course it's moksha. Now, there's also another interesting thing, all of which has to do with things that we're not very familiar with because we don't use these approaches for storing things. But remember, before refrigeration, so you looked for things that would keep things cool and at a certain level of humidity, because otherwise they would dry out and they would be useless in very little time. I mean, like what happens to us if you leave your lettuce outside of the fridge, right? Okay, so in no time at all, it's just curled up and dried. So what they would do is they would actually store things in grass or, you know, any type of ground cover. Those things generally have their own cool dampness to them, as anybody who sits down on a lawn in order to cool off knows. So what they would do is they would gather together asavim, various types of ground cover, grass, or whatever, and the time that you were collecting it was early in the morning, and they actually had dew on them, kishatal aleihem. Now remember that tal is one of the shivas mashkim. It's the tet of the shachat. And therefore you would think that, well, if you're going to use that in order to put your chitim in, la'tein behem chitim, in order to keep your wheat moisturized. So you'd think that since there's tal on them, that that is essentially what is moistening it. It's not a non-befiutan. Even though you wanted the moisture to be there, but the reason that you put it in grass was not because there was tal on the grass. It's because the grass has its own natural moisture, keeping it humidified. And even if the tal wasn't there, you would have put it into the grass. And therefore, there was no rutzen specifically for tal. The rutzen was for the grass. Obviously, if nitkaven lekach, if you went out early in order to get the tal on it because you wanted it to be all that damp, so then, of course, it's b'chiyutan, as we've said. If you know for a fact that you're dealing with one of the mashkin, it's going to be b'chiyutan. Now, we have a very fundamental machlokas that we never saw before. We know, and we've seen that Rabbi Yehuda has his own idiosyncratic approach, legabe absorption, through capillary action. We saw this at the beginning of the perek. It turns out that Rabbi Yehuda has a very idiosyncratic approach to what is considered to be the nature of ki yutan dumya leki yitain. We were talking today in Zvachim about mikra and mesoret, right? So remember that ki yutan mayim al zera is pronounced as ki yutan, but it's written as ki yitain. Now, there's a tremendous difference because ki yitain would be an actual transitive verb, and it would mean you would have to put water onto your peris in order for it to be mukshe lekabel tuma. Ma'ashen ki yutan means if it took place. It's passive. And therefore, we learn out from it that both the Mikra and the Mesorah are meaningful, and the Kiyutan is correct, meaning you didn't have to, let's say it rained on something and made it wet. That would be Heksher, but only on condition that it was similar to Kiyitain. What does that mean? Well, just like if you would be Yitain yourself, it obviously is something that you want to be achieved. So then Kiyutan, Dumya de Kiyitain. Remember, this was the basic, most fundamental halakha in makshirin. Now, what we always assumed was that as long as the person is happy with what happened, that is sufficient. But he does not need to in any way do something in order to make it similar to ki yitain. And if we know that certainly anybody would be happy under these circumstances, that would be a ki yitain, similar to a ki yitain. And yet, here we find Rabbi Yehuda's special shita, who holds that that's insufficient. So somebody is on his way with his chitim, and he's bringing it to the grinding mill. And on the way, it rains. And yordu aleihem gishamim. Now, in order to do grinding properly, you are milatet, generally speaking, unless, of course, this is for Pesach, but If you're melatet means you moisturize what it is that you're putting in there, and that allows the separation of the chaff to be done more easily. So that would be the normal way that you would bring it to the grinding, and therefore, if it rains, you'd be happy. So if it rains, and you're happy that it rained, im samach, you would be already ki yutan, similar to ki yitain. Rabbi Yehuda says, what do you mean, if you're happy? How can you not be happy? I love the language. Of course, you're going to be happy, but being happy is not enough. That's maybe enough for Alfred E. Newman, but it's not enough for Ki Yi Tain. So you would have to indicate, you have to actually do something so that there's an action that makes it a Ki Yi Tain, which is a transitive verb. Where is the action? So if you stood still for a moment, that would be Ki Yi Tain, yes. But if we know you were happy, that's not enough. So Ei Efshar Shelo Lismoach, and therefore there's no Hechsher, Ela Im Amad. So that is done with a Maisa of sorts. Lovely. So it turns out that we've got a connection in our Mishnah of the day to our Daf of the day.
Maybe I'm struck by the meaning of Grano. I always thought Grano is a pile of Rebbe translated in the silo, right, which is a built structure in the ground.
Right. Yeah, that's the way the Rishonim talk about the understanding what it means over here, because why would you be Merabit your Goren? You're trying to prevent any of the dust. You certainly don't mind if it's in the open Goren. The dust is just blown away. I mean, that's the point of being in the open Goren. The Rishonim say, we're talking over here, the building of where you store it, which makes more sense. I mean, maybe it's true, but I'm not sure whether the floor of a Goren is very dry. I don't know. I know the floor of the silo is definitely very dry.
Yeah. And I learned that straw takes out the oxygen and therefore kills bugs and things like that. Preserves it better. You put straw at the top, and it's even better once you open it. But This would be lashon ha mishnah and not lashon tanach. The skin goes into a gut below to do it. A goren is above ground. What are the implications for the boa?
Gidon was needed to hide his tefuah, I remember.
He needed to be lowered down.
No, he needed to hide it because the plishtim were stealing it.
Right, I'm saying, but he uses the word gut, not goren.
Because he couldn't put it in a goren. He had to put it into the gut to hide it from the plishtim, which is one of the things he was complaining about. If you, Malach, if you're so smart, tell me why we're living like this.
Right, I'm just saying, here goren means below ground, yes?
No.
A silo is below ground.
It doesn't have to be below ground.
It doesn't have to be. Rebbe means a built-up silo.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. I think if you go to Haifa, they used to have some of those.
No, in archaeology, I don't know if we know.
Ah, okay. Okay. Yeah, maybe you're right. I don't know. That could be you're right. Maybe I'm just assuming it's more modern usage. Okay, Rabosai, it's been tons of fun and loads of enjoyment, and therefore, Ei Efshar Shelo Lismoach. So we'll be oimed a little bit just to do a review, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bezrat Hashem. Go to.